Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's Aspiring Principals webinar on Elements of Success, Learn How to Use Them to Support Your Leadership with Dr. Richard Long. For those of you that are coming into our webinar, so let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Richard Long. Richard is the Executive Director of the Learning First Alliance and a nationally known advocate, writer, and commentator on pre-K-12 issues and federal policy. Richard, we're so happy to have you this afternoon. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization.
Thank you, Honor. First, thanks for inviting me and Learning First to make this presentation today. I hope you all find that there are some really useful sections of this to you, and I look forward to taking your questions, which you'll be able to put in the chat box, and we'll be able to have a bit of give and take at the end of the formal presentation. The in terms of my background, as Honor mentioned, I've worked in the education policy field at the national level for about 40 years now. Part of that time has been with the International Reading Association and several other curriculum groups. I've also was executive director of the National Title I Association for several years. And during that time, of course, I've done other things, like I worked with the World Health Organization as a consultant. Also worked with USA Today and several other organizations. One of the things Honor and I were just chatting about before was some of the background that brought Elements of Success together. It also included I was a site visitor for 3 years for the Blue Ribbon Schools Program, or what's now called the Blue Ribbon Schools Program. And I tell you, if you ever are looking to do something really interesting, I invite you to apply to be a site visitor to that, because it's actually, it's easy to go to a school and figure out what's broken. But going into a building that's already been talked about having success and demonstrating success, but finding out why it's successful. I mean, there's actually much more nuance to that, and nuance is an important word for this presentation. The Learning First Alliance is comprised of 12 organizations, and NAESP is one of our founding members. We also have NASSP, AFT, NEA, National School Board, Superintendents Organization, and seven other organizations that are board of directors. And we meet six times a year, frankly, sometimes more. We have other activities going on, but what we're trying to do is say what the core message is really about the elements of success. We as education professionals have a pretty good idea of what's important, what needs to be done, and frankly have a pretty good idea of how to do it. And that brings us to why the elements of success. In my 40 years, and if we can move to the next slide, I've noticed a couple of things. The public believes that we're not united on professional. You know, it's, this. The other thing is we are really a confusing lot as a community. The medical community is probably worse than us, but boy, do we have a lot of words that don't really communicate what they are. And, you know, using simple languages to express ourselves, to make ourselves understood is not something that lends itself to our community, partially because people are cutting new ground. But the net of this is it sounds like, you know, one group thinks this and another group thinks that, and, you know, we're collectively asking them to spend a lot of money and give us a lot of trust and work with their kids. And this is a terribly important thing to communicate. The elements of success is written so that a reasonably educated person would read this and say, couple of things. One, I didn't realize this was such a complicated endeavor, educating all kids. And two, these people have a pretty good idea how to do this. And so we want you to be thinking about this as a tool to present to your communities in part or in whole, call it yours. Frankly, it's a tool to be used, to be adapted, to say to them, look, we really know what we're doing. And this point number three here, it is, the data is so clear on this, that it's how these ideas are applied to every different building that is incredibly important. So that somebody comes into your meetings and say, gee, I read this article, and you do get the feeling of how an MD feels when they tell someone they have disease X, and they tell, and of course the patient will then say, well, this is what I just read on the internet. Well, this is the same thing here. People are trying to make a difference, trying to do better, and this gives us a platform for you to demonstrate incredible flexibility about how to integrate ideas so that they make sense. So let's continue, Honor, if we might.
Before we begin, before you continue, Richard, can you tell us a little bit about how the Elements came to be, how you came upon this platform?
Yes. First off, we identified we needed to have a public statement that says, this is what we as a community believe in. And so we did a review of all of the statements on everybody's websites and the NEA, the NAESP, and AFT, and school boards, and all Learning Forward, and all of the others we had. And again, we found a surprising amount of congruence. They weren't saying it the same way, but lo and behold, for example, the school counselors would say, we need to have one school counselor for every 250 kids. Now, school boards doesn't have a statement that says that exactly, but what they do say is we need to have the tools in our building for our kids to mental health issues, education interpretations to be done to meet the needs of each child. And saying it, quoting the American School Counselors Association was not anything that anybody else had an anathema with. So we were able to then bring these ideas together, and we found that they interlock. And quite frankly, the first time we tried to write this piece together, we tried to do it in 20 double spaced pages. And it just didn't work. We were trying to cram too many ideas together. So the second thing we then did was then started to organize it into these categories that I'll be talking about in a moment. And then once we started doing that, then explaining how the overlap worked and explaining then how these ideas could be applied, that then began to take a life of its own, like many of you have written pieces have had that experience. And we then were going back to our members, and as they saw where we were going, they would add examples to it, and we would take some of it, take none of it, take a piece of it, take all of it, and then we went through quite a few drafts to then get a tone that allows, again, a reasonably well-educated person to be able to read this with pretty decent comprehension. We tried to avoid words that were associated with one part of the community or another, and words that in different parts of the community had different meanings. It took about 15 months for us to be continually working on this to bring it then down to about 80 typeset pages, we have our appendices and our references actually go on quite a while as well. Because again, every piece has more dimension to it. So, at the end of the day, I remember about 3 months before we were all done and then going to kind of the final reviews and changes, the board had had it, and to hear the board members saying, wow, this is very clear, this is affirmative, and it is forward-looking, that then gave us a very, very powerful platform in order for our members then to say, this is a statement that is affirmative and says what needs to be done and gives a bit about the how, but clearly doesn't say you do it. It's something clearly that we have to do. So it had a lot going with it. Now, we put this slide up front for a couple of reasons. We're actually very proud of the artwork here. And two, we also see here that there is the website where you can find it. And I've noticed that when I've made live presentations on this or in front of people actually, that they're downloading it and flipping through it while I'm speaking, which is just great. But the other thing I wanted to point out to you, this word compendium, it is an acknowledgement of something here that's very, very important. And I want you to know it up front that I know it that here. There's nothing new here. This soup has been talked about. The pieces of here have been seasoned before by other people. You've learned about this in school. You've read about it. You've seen presentations about it. There, in this regard, these ideas are not new by themselves. However, like the old Gestalt approach, the sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I want to be clear, because sometimes I haven't said that, and people say, "Well, there's nothing new here," yeah, that's true. But let's talk about what the six elements are. And here we are, the six elements. And you say, and again, you would say, okay, yes. What do you mean here by focus on the total child? Well, you know, this could have been said 60 years ago, and in fact was thought about 60 years ago in the first writing of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, and certainly talked about and thought about when the concept of federal role was being developed. It was the idea that we need to be looking at the child not just in the building, but not just in the district and in the school business, but in the community. There's much more to that. And you can see how social policy has developed on this. However, in 2017, 2018, when we published this work, it also has come to mean, you know, the paying attention to the social emotional needs of the child. I mean, this has been, you know, it being talked about and to continue with the metaphor on cooking, you know, been a very small simmer for a while and then has been much more forward thinking than this. Now, but also in here and focus on the total child, we're not really saying that, yes, this is a box to be checked off. So, you know, all these things. Yes, we have this. Yes, we have that. But it's rather the process by which you have all of this. This is what we talk about, the ever-changing environment, the concept of trying to get more towards personalization or individualization, depending on your concept of that. But it is certainly the idea of using the tools and looking at each of the people as having unique skills and trying to match what we have to meet those needs. Now, the second one on equity and access, this issue of equity, again, you know, it's a bit, yeah, geez, who isn't for that? But the reality is here, we now don't think that equity means like equal money being spent on each kid. And that was certainly part of the idea of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act in 64 when it passed and 65 when it was signed into law. But it was also part of many school desegregation cases, and school busing cases. The idea that the measure of equity was equality of spending. Well, the truth is, we know that, kids with greater needs, it's just going to be, it is the equity is in what is being done, not in per se what the dollars are. So the measurements are changing, how we think about that, how we think about access. It isn't just, is the door open? And if you fall through, push through or walk through, it's just going to happen. One of the things I noticed in Title I that I can't explain at this point, other than kind of individual difference, in some of the worst schools that I've seen and read about and looked at their profiles, about 25% of the kids are actually doing really, really well. So, I mean, on all the gross measures, everything looks like. But some kids are really need something different, something unique. And let's face it. I mean, Xavier College or University in Louisiana, it has the highest percentage of kids graduating their historically black college and university who go on to med school, who become doctors than any other school in the country. This doesn't happen by chance. It happens because they start reaching out and identifying kids who will benefit by really good summer programs when the kids are in the ninth grade. So again, it's not just the door being open. It's what do we do with this open? Family and community engagement. And again, when I was a site visitor, I used to marvel at, people would tell me about, how open the school is, the principal is to talking to parents. Well, that's really, really terribly important and frankly, really good public relations. And you want that sort of thing, but the engagement is in the actual discussion. What meat is being put on the table for community, the families to actually work on. This is a very hard thing to communicate to people. When I was a local PTA president where my kids went to school, and one fine year, one of my kids got assigned to, quote, the worst teacher in the building. So my wife, of course, said to me, what are you doing about that, Dr. Long? So I went and talked to the principal, and she smiled and said, well, we've developed this team teaching approach. Now, you may like team teaching, you may not like team teaching. What was really not so good, though, was they kept it a secret. And they had developed, it turned out that they had on this team a teacher who was really, really good at teaching reading, which is where this other teacher had a problem, and another teacher who was extraordinary teaching math. So every kid in that grade got reading from one and math from another. And it turned out the teacher who wasn't so good at teaching reading was actually pretty good and much more interested in science and social studies. So, I mean, they actually worked out pretty well. But did they engage anybody in this discussion about doing this? No. So they had a secret. And so, it's like, okay, what are you doing here? How are you engaging? And in the better schools, you see a very lively engagement. People do disagree, but they don't necessarily, yes, of course, people are disagreeing. And to be quite candid with you, when I was doing site visits, I would have parents come up to me and tell me how bad the place was, and I'd have people demonstrating against the administration or principal. But in the places that were really good, yes, you can have some, quote, outliers, but it was how these problems were being dealt with. And in the better schools, you knew the difference between the outlier and sometimes some personal tragedies that were going on. From those that were actually, this was something, they didn't shy away from difficulties. They did engage in these things. And we saw in the last passage of the ESSA, the Elementary Secondary Act of 2015, that family and community engagement has become a legislated into law. And, you know, a lot of places haven't really figured out what that means. Well, in the better places, they're actively working on that. Same is true on distributed leadership. It's a concept that's been emerging, and in fact, in our sector, is we're surprisingly behind. I was just absolutely amazed. I have a son who now is in the Air National Guard. He was in the what they call the big Air Force. And here, you know, a very authoritarian organization has distributed leadership, and that they had worked out what this means. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody else does your job. What it means is that they're being empowered to do things that are more specific to their part of the pie. And how this is done, of course, is terribly, terribly important. And how this is understood and how the principal and the principal teacher, principal leader integrates that makes all the difference in the world. If people don't understand how it works, then they're not going to be able to get to that. We also see that it's also a factor of effective communications. If you don't have newsletters going out, you don't have information flowing, you don't have data being analyzed and being shared and discussed, you're back up into, you know, kind of a, okay, there's a tree and a path and that's not distributed leadership. And we can talk a little bit more about that later. Now, strong and supportive teaching force and staff. This is, you know, most of you, you're going to go, this is something we have. We all know that the second most important person to the student doing well is the teacher and the rest of the educators. We also know that it is in the long-term best interest of any parent that they have their child seeing and having a teacher, counselor, coach who they can go to in times of trouble. That the kids who develop the resiliency, the kids who develop the ability to function at a much, much higher level are the ones who have these things. But how do you get these things? You know, we know that professional development is, you know, kind of viewed now as not quite the word that's professional learning. And professional learning is something that is ongoing, it is active and supportive. Now, to go back to this about, you know, where's our sector in this compared to others? Well, the medical community, provides active support for their staffs to go forward and get up to date because things are changing so rapidly, just as they are in our field. They also have I was surprised talking to my son in the Air Force. As an officer, he was going to a lot of activities, and about 20% of his time spent on professional development, and which just really surprised me because in our business we have a minor set. Well, part of to get this to be done, we need to have sets of examples of to the families about why teachers taking off to have professional development makes sense and how this can be done over an extended period of time, including the summers. The final piece is relationship-oriented climate, and this is, of course, something that's become like social-emotional learning, something that's critically important. We're seeing this as, you know, are there people that students can go to? Are there activities that they can do? Is there an awareness of that it's how people work together that make a difference and how they know what to do in a time of trouble? We have seen in schools where there are kids who are in deep trouble, where it doesn't turn out to be a mass problem. It's a kid pointing out to a teacher, overhearing a conversation and knowing when to refer to a counselor, when the counselor knows how to refer to medical people, and then the teacher gets feedback on this. You know, all of these things don't happen by chance. And so we have a very active thing here. Now, somebody might say, well, where's technology in all this? You didn't put this, you didn't put that. Well, I just want to point out to you that as you read through the book, you'll find technology is a tool in all of these areas. And we decided that we wanted to be integrative of tools and not make the tool the purpose of the exercise. So I'm sorry for spending so much time on this. Heather, I'm sorry, Honor, let's ask our question here. And as you're looking at this, one of the things, the reason that brought this question to mind, if you could ask yourself, what is your school secret strength? I was amazed at many of the schools I was in that were very, very good. They actually didn't know about something that was their fundamental strength because it was so fundamental to them. And that's why I thought this would be an interesting question rather than ask about what do you need? It's what do you got that is really core to what you do.
So I've launched the poll. If you guys would take a moment and choose your exam, your one, I'll end it soon and then read you the results.
And it says here in red, host and panelists cannot vote.
No.
It's very un-Chicago of you.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to close it soon, so choose the one that fits you. This is a way for you guys to have some input into this and spark your thinking as well. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and end it and share the results with you all. So, Richard, it looks like we've got 25% of attendees focus on the total child, 25% focus on distributive leadership, 13% focus on a strong supportive teaching force and staff, and then the whopping number one, 38%, is relationship-oriented school climate.
Well, it's interesting. Well, it's not that they focus on, it's that in the people are participating here. This is their essentially secret strength. That this is what that they think that they have that is really important. And frankly, the reason we also bring this up is as you go, and I'm sure all of you have been school improvement to death, one or reform to death, one way or the other. You want to be obviously very, very careful not to lose what you got. And that sometimes happens. And again, having the compendium as a tool would, you know, help give you a public document that says, well, look, you know, it's all of these things that are important. So let's keep that in mind, too. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for participating in that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, as I've mentioned before, none of this really is new. But what is important here is that makes this word, the word unique, is that this is a consensus of all public school stakeholders. Nobody in our community, which included the teachers, the leadership of different types, some specialists different levels here and different activities, said to me, oh, you got to take this out. This was a consensus piece so that none of the elements here, some 9/10 agree to this or 51% agree with that. No, this is where we have agreement. Now, I would also to be realistic, we're at a pretty, strategic level here. So, you know, but the reason we were was as well that it's the, interactions that is the critical element between these pieces. It isn't just that you have them. It's how do these things work together in your building? How do you form the tapestry that becomes, the elements of success? Yeah, the elements, but it's the elements bond to create a molecule. And, so how do you do that and what is that interaction? And, you know, almost everybody would have to agree that it's going to be a leadership function, to a very sophisticated level, but it's also people having a common vision. And this helps, I hope, for you to develop that common vision so that you then, you know, create this unique program for your building. Honor, if we can jump ahead here. Okay, and this kind of reiterates what I just said. The solution in schools isn't the same. Yeah, and, you know, we've seen this, the literature is just incredibly ripe with this, that schools are very, very different in that, you know, the plan, you know, will work in a good number of schools, but it's frequently, but not in all. And it's, these successful schools are able to bring everybody together to do this, and how these elements are integrated, it's going to be highly, highly contextual. Now, part of it is too that you've identified, you know, just before in your mind what your secret strength is, and so you don't want to be always then going towards that, but you don't want to forget it as well. But that's also different in every building. I was surprised to see how in the different buildings all around the country with different demographics, different economics, that you will find that it's how this uniqueness is blended that makes all the difference in the world. And Honor, if we can proceed. Now, this slide is about, you know, what are the key components of leadership, or the key component of leadership. What does that mean? And we put a couple of different ideas here, and most of which is replete in your literature. The policy leadership, and here we're designing what's important for you to be saying what's important. Setting those strategic goals, that you are also distributing your leadership and applying leadership in a very different model, so that people come together and come to the strengths of themselves. You use professional development to professional learning to get people to understand different leadership functions and what that means. And reaching out to the parents and the community, so not only do they know what's going on, but you know what they are looking for, what their expectations are. You know, in my local school right now, I have a buddy who is a kid with one particular type of disability, and the building that he goes to has an emphasis on helping more kids with a different disability. So, you know, how do you balance those things off, and where does that come from? It's, you know, where do these balances come from? That's real tough, and you have to have parent community involvement in that. You know, if people think you're making arbitrary and capricious decisions, you know, that's just not going to work. So, if we can proceed. In terms of changing your school into a learning community, this is something, again, we found in talking to people and replete through the literature that we reviewed. Everybody in our business is busy. Even people who aren't doing their job well, they're busy. And so you need to be aware that when you're going to go into them and talk to them about something that you want to be done differently, their first thought is going to be, oh my, how am I going to do this and everything else? So, you know, you as a leader need to engage that discussion, and to acknowledge that. And even when, you know, I want to do that and I wish I knew how to do that. I need more training on that, but I don't have time to do that. You're the one as the building leader that needs to be engaging in, okay, what can be trimmed, what can be changed, what's something out of date? We've seen that repeatedly, that you know, people will be doing something honoring the past, and because nobody said that, no, we're not doing it that way anymore. We also have to be aware that I've not been in a school that hasn't had one type of reform program or other. In fact, I was engaging in one school and doing a review, and they had 16 different reform programs going on. I mean, even listing them was very, very difficult. So, you know, bringing things together, making them possible, but it's also meant that everyone in the building, if you had a secret conversation with them or you really got them to trust you, they would tell you that, geez, you know, yeah, this, we've been doing this reform because so-and-so wants it, you know, because so-and-so, and then sometimes, yeah, because I want it. And so we would find that we would have these, all of these things going on. Actually, a good example of how this can work against you. I was doing a large paper on social emotional intelligence or social emotional learning. And I found some really good literature that pointed out that social emotional learning didn't work. And then I found other meta-analysis that said, well, it worked very, very well. And of course, when you unpacked it, you found that these schools that are doing reforms that are, you know, putting placards on walls and posters here, hither and yon, and saying the words, you know, that's not it. So, you know, having people, you know, understand that there's already stuff going on, you're asking them to change with, and change comes with collaboration. What do we want to achieve, and short-term achievable goals. I mean, you're not going to, get all the Nazi submarines by boiling the ocean. There's a little problem with that. But you are going to make a difference in kids' lives if, you have, you know, you're using, selected data in purposeful ways and turning things around quickly. Honor, if we may go forward. And, now, these next few slides talk about what we've been doing with the compendium, and then in this also will be how you can use this in your communities. First off, just so you know, the business community has been at the forefront of education change and reform since 1970. And I can go through each one of the types of major reforms where business is led, but Honor, even though she's a mile and a half away, might actually shoot me. And so just take me on trust that the business community is engaged quite a bit on school reform. Now, what we did, though, is we convened the school or the business community, and we said to them, look, we know what needs to be done. We need your help to do that. And so we produced this paper, and it's on our website, about bringing businesses and schools together. And in here, if you are looking for ideas on what to do with your business community, you will find a menu. And the menu has different ideas in it, because there's some small organizations, there's some mom-and-pop shops, and there are some national and multinationals have vast range of ideas here. So again, just like in the compendium where one size doesn't fit all, and we point out how that's true, the same is true engaging with your business community. And having ideas about how to do that is terribly important. And the neat thing we found, again, was when we said, look, we don't want you to be saying to us, you know, we need your help to set our goals and et cetera. No, we got a pretty good sense of that. But they were clear on saying things like, look, your assessment, package needs to have, some elements in it that will help at the local level and that come from the business community, especially for the vast majority of kids who are going career-based. Now, you may say, well, that's nice for the secondary level and middle school level, but the elementary level, we have found a great deal of unanimity on the concept of developing early childhood programs and also developing examples in literacy programs for the second, third, fourth grade that are about using career-oriented concepts, including, I was just down at Newport News Shipyards looking at their apprenticeship programs. I mean, these kids, they have almost 900 kids in it, have to not only learn how to use a welding torch in one hand, they have to have the ability to use a tablet in the other, not just to read a blueprint for, you know, they have to work in augmented reality. I mean, this is stuff that doesn't start, you know, you don't learn this in the 11th and 12th grade. I mean, you learn that these ideas, how exciting it is, by what you're hearing in the elementary school. So we have, you know, there are a lot of opportunities here, a lot of ideas here about how to get these people into your buildings and your teachers to be going into their shops where appropriate. And the literature is actually pretty strong on teacher morale goes up and people staying in the profession goes up when they believe that they are respected and are getting more tools and are interacting with the community. So it actually becomes a pretty good win. Honor, if we may go forward. Okay, now we get another question here. Which element would you want to help? Would you want help from your business community? And that's about your business community in your building. So we'll.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and launch that and give you a few seconds to choose your response. And it looks like the highest 40% of you responded that family and community engagement was the largest, and then 20% for commitment to equity and access, and then a tie between on 10% for focus on the total child and distributive leadership and relationship-oriented school climate. 10% of you said you just don't know.
It's interesting too that that everybody who's here with us today said we don't want the business community involved in the professional learning activities. That's an interesting concept. And in terms of the family and community engagement, that's something where the businesses can make a real difference in how that happens. So this, and then as well as seeing a distribution here across otherwise. So thank you. And we also met with the policy community, and the most important thing we found was that they believe that what we should be emphasizing is equity, and that equity will make the biggest difference by having more teachers with better background and more professional development that's supported by evidence. That's something that if we could ensure that we had more teachers, especially in the Title I schools, for example, that had multiple years of experience, instead of where we have high degrees of turnover, that would actually make the biggest difference the fastest. But also the school climate and breaking down silos, they viewed as important. And in the long run, there are a set of other things we should be doing, including conducting better research on schools and school systems. And that we actually found across the board. We've met with the research community to talk about how research agendas are set. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done between the K-12 community and the research community, the research agenda setting agency. So there's a lot of opportunities here. And I want to put this slide in because it does give you the sense of what we may be seeing elements of this into some public policy discussions quite soon. Okay, and so in summary, really, how is this important to you? How do you make this useful? Well, you have to be saying to people that we actually, as a community, have a consensus as to what's important. We don't have, you know, this is not the Rich Long school improvement model that you can buy for $29.95, and we can make everybody just perfect on this. No, rather it's that we do have a consensus, and the consensus is that this stuff is how we apply these ideas in a unique way in our unique community. The other thing that I think is important that we don't really do all that well at is sharing our success stories. You know, we do hear from time to time, you know, that so-and-so, you know, had the graduation rate went up. Well, that's really quite good, and something to be celebrated. But there are also other celebrations that need to be done, which include the process celebrations of, you know, if you have a partnership with a business where your teachers are doing something, or there's spending time over the summer doing a professional learning activity. You want people to know that this is process of success stories. It's not what the outcomes are. We also see stressing that what you do to reach out to the business community will, and taking charge of that relationship, will have a long-term success for you. Because it won't just be, you know, a few dollars here and there, but it will be more, frankly, more political support and ideas from the business community. Not that they should be telling you your business, but they do have some tools and some notions that can be extraordinarily useful to you, that if you are able to have them share it with you to be applied in the way you need it to be done, it'll make an enormous difference. But it starts with reaching out to them and saying, look, this is what we need to accomplish. And again, some of the businesses have different tools to work with you on. This last point, getting to yes, this comes from the book on negotiating back in the 70s, the Harvard negotiating project, which actually is still going on today. And you start with what you have in common. So if you're doing a negotiation by any other name, with your teachers about professional learning, with your colleagues in the principalship, with your outreach to the community, what you have in common is reflected in the elements of success. And you might want to use this as a tool to reflect on that. And if we then follow the ideas of, you know, getting to yes, is you always go, when you have disagreements, you go back to where you have an agreement and then restart them. So I think you'll find that there's a lot of application to these little over 70 pages that you will find it will speak to you if you use it as a tool, not as a cookbook. So with that, Honor, you said
yes. Now's the time for you to write in your questions. We've already had a few come in, and let me start off with my own. Rich, are you saying that in order to be a successful school, you have to have all six of these elements, or could you just work on a few of them and be successful? Or what, you know, what's the number? I mean, how does that work with the
community? Well, the secret in sauce here is that you have to have parts of all of these things. Mm-hmm. Your school may need more of one than another, for reasons of sheer need. But it may also be that, like a couple of people said, you know, our school climates are our secret existing elements. So you don't want to overdevelop that. I mean, you have already been, you know, developing that as a strength. You may want to continue to develop it as a strength, but you don't want to do it and neglect these other components, partially because the organizations and the literature that they have, which also, by the way, their literature developed by bringing experts in, and it wasn't just this wasn't a passive activity in terms of their own development. It was like the elementary school principals had brought elementary school principals together over years to write different examples of what constituted good schools, and that's what we worked from. So it is, the field is saying you have to have all of these spices, but we're also saying the amount of spices is what you determine.
Fascinating. Another question that's come in is, where are you in terms of next steps with this compendium? Have you thought about like an evaluation tool? How should a principal evaluate themselves on these six measures of success?
We have thought about doing that, and we don't have the ability to do that, which is unfortunate because, so the best I would say you do is we have on our website, a 2-page summary and a 8-page summary, and you may want to just go through and because all, while we say we have six, actually there's more like 40 elements in there.
Oh.
and, you know, which ones do you have and how would you know? And I did that, which I'm actually comfortable recommending that to you. The Malcolm Bowdridge Awards, that came out in the 80s was actually more of a process guide rather than a checklist guide. So I use this to say, you know, first question would be is, can I identify these items in my school, and if so, how vibrant are they? And this is a, you know, you don't have to, you know, you could say 1 to 10, where you're at, but this is something you would do so that you would have a sense of where you want to increase your emphasis or decrease your emphasis. I actually was looking at a set of schools in Arizona on Title I schools, and I was finding that these couple of schools were overemphasizing things that they were already doing well. Because that had become, catnip to them. They'd seen success, liked that, the way it tastes, and wanted more of that. And, you know, you don't want to say that's the wrong approach, but at the same time, they were missing. Their success in those elements were blinding them to what would actually be long-term success.
Another question, what strategies do you recommend for principals in using these elements in their own school's PD?
Well, in terms of the professional learning, professional development activities, sitting down with your staff and finding out what's important, using data to determine what's important. One of the things we have been doing with as follow-up with the compendium, I've been writing articles for the American Federation of Teachers. They have a share the lesson, and it's got 2 million people on it. And this recent article was on how the school actually on the Navajo, the principal used data collected every day to find out what students were slipping. And sometimes students slip because, you know, they miss, and by slipping, I mean literally slipping. They've had two quizzes that have gone badly. Now, for some kids, that's, you know, they had a, you know, they were out on visiting a relative or something like that and just needed a little catch up. That's not a big deal. Other people, their family was falling apart and this was just the beginning of it. So before it got worse, they went forward with that. And one of the things that this principal did, which I was fascinated by, he had his mantra was everything in the building works. The chair broke. If it wasn't fixed that day, it was taken out of sight. And so, you know, you have the, you know, kind of a metaphor for this, but it's also they were using data that they were already collecting, collating it. They had two volunteers at noon would go around the building collecting, you know, kind of the data of that day. The principal looked at it by 1 o'clock and by 1:30, 2 o'clock was already making adjustments to meet the individual needs of the kids. So it's how essentially would you do something, not necessarily like that, but similar to that. What is your school need? What is the data telling you? What are the other professionals telling you? And you can be using this as a bit of a checklist to see what are the critical components.
Wonderful. Another question's come in about the business community. You stress the business community and using the business community. What recommendations would you make for a principal in terms of using their own business community in these elements?
Well, again, what we found was in sharing the elements with the business people that we've been working with, which represented multinational and very small manufacturing, high tech, high labor use, wide range. It started off with, look, we have a pretty good idea of how to do this and what we're trying to achieve, but specifically, what are you looking for? And also, as I'm telling you what we're doing, are there ideas that come to mind? I have seen, you know, people who are in the MBA field. I mean, the way they analyze data is night and day compared to what we do. Doesn't mean it's right, but there are tools that can take a lot of information and make it more useful to you. There's also the idea of how to apply technology that's going on in almost every workplace. There is, you know, some people are speculating that in 11 years, artificial intelligence is going to have an incredible effect to the point of knocking out a whole bunch of jobs. You want to be knowing what that means and how do you help a kid to learn the types of tasks that they should be looking for, the types of activities they should be doing in order to be successful. I recently had a roofer replace my roof, and for those of you who have gone through that process, you know, it's, you know, what the hell do I know about roofs? But the guy who gave me the best, who got the winning bid, was the guy who had a proposal written in a way I understood and could take to a judge if I needed. And what he smiled when because he asked me why did he win. I said, well, your proposal was so clear, the writing of it was so clear. And he said, oh, I went to a junior college to learn how to do that. These applications of academics to the trades. I mean, that's kind of a business side of it. But to see what's going on in building ships, very complicated ships, but, which they do at Newport News, but is still how this is being done and how this is changing. We want kids in the fourth grade not to just have examples of literature that makes them interested in Shakespeare and others and good poetry, which is a beautiful thing to do. But it's also to have examples of how, the academics are applied to the business community. And that, again, it's how do you get, you know, a teacher used to doing that? You got to work with them. You got to talk to them.
Well, that's it for our questions. I'll go to the last slide.
Well, and thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today. I realize that you have a lot of pressures on your time. And if you want more information, please feel free to email me. And certainly go to our website. And I also want to let you know that we are all celebrating Public School Week, the week of March 25th through the 29th. And we're going to be posting very soon some activities that your schools can use. And we're also doing some things on Capitol Hill, because the truth of the matter is there isn't one thing that has not happened in our society back to even predating the Constitution of the United States, with John Adams writing the Massachusetts State Constitution, that hasn't seen public education as a cornerstone of that success. And we need to tell people about that.
Thank you, Richard. We appreciate your comments today and sharing with us this important six elements. I would encourage all of you to download the recording, which will be available within 48 hours. And also, please feel free to attend our next webinar Wednesday on February 13th with Jennifer Abrams on building relationships and playing well with others. And don't miss out on our check out our registration for our upcoming summer conference on our website. Thank you again, Richard.
Thank you.